In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How about this idea? As a way to make some extra money for the church, on Friday night we can turn the sanctuary into a hard rock nightclub. So we can put the band up here, clear out a few pews for a dance floor, maybe get a bar back in the back of church or in the narthex, and some table service up in the balcony. The bouncer could be out under the awning outside. That would be. Does that sound like a good idea? Well, why not? I mean, it's actually a terrible idea, because this is sacred space set apart for the divine service of God. We don't even like to have voters' meetings in here. This is God's house. We would never turn God's house into a nightclub. Last Sunday, we learned about the baptism of Jesus and how at your baptism, you put on Christ. You are united with Christ. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we hear in Titus 3. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. In baptism, you are kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, separated from the multitude of unbelievers. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead have been credited to you. As a baptized believer in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a sacred vessel of God. God used to dwell in the temple in Jerusalem. Now God dwells in you. You have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have received Jesus' forgiveness. You have taken Jesus' body and blood into your body. You have put on Christ. You are holy. Your body is sacred. It is God's house. What you do with your body matters. The trouble is that you live in a world that believes your body is a playground, and that your focus in life should be the constant pursuit of pleasure regardless of how it affects others. And the fact that people are obsessed with their own selfish pleasure-seeking, it's not a surprise. It's the default position. It's who you are as a natural-born sinner. You are a natural-born sinner, but you are now a new creation in Christ. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What you do with your body matters. In our epistle lesson today, St. Paul specifically addresses sexual sin. There are those in the Church of Corinth who are engaging with prostitutes and apparently justifying their behavior by pointing out that the food laws have been undone in Jesus, so what you eat does not matter because food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. So, if it doesn't matter what you eat, it should not matter who you're intimate with. It's just doing stuff with your body, and your body will eventually die and decay. The Corinthians and so many people today say, "It's my body. I can do what I want with my body." St. Paul corrects the Corinthians. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Your body is not just for this life. On the last day, your body will be raised from the dead, imperishable. What you do with your body matters. The two becoming one flesh sexual union is meant for marriage because marriage is a holy union. It's a sacred act designed by God himself as part of his command in Genesis 1. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. The union of husband and wife is a picture of the union of God and the church. Read in Ephesians 5. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The world around us encourages sexual intimacy with anyone who consents, and too often not even that. Child sexual abuse is rampant. Human trafficking is booming. Pornography is big business. There's apps you can download on your phones and you can find someone to hook up with for a one-night stand. The idea of waiting until your wedding night is thought to be medieval. St. Paul's message was incredibly countercultural in the prostitute-filled port city of Corinth 2,000 years ago, and it's even more countercultural in our sex-soaked world today. Inside the bonds of the marriage union of a man and a woman, sexual intimacy is sacred. Outside the bonds of marriage, intimacy desecrates God's plan. It brings trouble and confusion. Sexual intimacy is significant. It's meaningful. It's sacred. It is only to happen within marriage. Your body is not your own to do with what you like. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body is not meant for sexual immorality. The highway of life is littered with the damage brought by sexual immorality. Diseases bringing infertility, broken marriages, broken families, struggling single parents, exploited children and adults, millions addicted to pornography, hundreds of millions of aborted babies sacrificed on the altar of so-called sexual freedom, which is actually slavery. 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is a radical message in a world of people that treat their body as a playground instead of a temple of God. This message of the sacredness of intimacy is considered hateful and evil and oppressive. The world rebels against this message, and that's understandable because they don't know Jesus. They're not one with Jesus. They have rejected Jesus. You have a choice each day. Live as a baptized child of God who has put on Christ and whose body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, or live as a friend of the world. And heed the Bible's warnings from James 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a difficult and challenging teaching. Nobody has any high ground here from which to look down upon anyone else. We all have a lot to repent of. Sins of the youth, sins of the not so young, sins of thoughts and desires, sins of word and deed. Repent of being friends with the world. Make the changes in your life to conform to the will of God. Live out your identity in Christ. Your body belongs to the Lord. You are a baptized child of God. You have put on Christ. Your body is not a playground. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.